What led you to this particular subject, Mr. Vanderbilt?
Well, my previous book had been a biography of Jesse James. It was called Jesse James, Last Rebel of the Civil War. And in writing that book, I naturally looked at the question of whether he really was an anti-railroad Robin Hood. And my investigation led me to conclude that no, he wasn't. But in order to settle that question, I engaged in sort of deep investigation of the railroad and financial system of the 19th century, and it was really fascinating to me. And of course, the rise of the corporation and the rise of big business, is the rise of the railroad, is one of the major themes of American history. So I started thinking about possibly doing a biography that would allow me to investigate those questions, and Vanderbilt naturally presented himself. He hadn't had a major biography really ever. The only serious attempt was in 1942, and he had this incredibly important but also dramatic personal story. So it seemed like a logical subject.
I've always associated him with railroads, but he was a big steamship guy, wasn't he?
That's right. I mean, the length of his life is just remarkable. He was born in 1794 during the presidency of George Washington. And when he died in 1877, Grant was president, Reconstruction had come to an end, and Vanderbilt had actually made deals personally with John D. Rockefeller. So when he started off, steamboats didn't even exist. He was operating a sailboat in New York Harbor between New York and, that was on the island of Manhattan, and Staten Island. Then he got into steamboats, then later into ocean-going steamships. And it wasn't until he was almost 70 that he devoted himself entirely to railroads.
Now, you've obviously gotten to know him very well. It's quite a volume that you've written. But what was he like, just to be around? What kind of person was he?
Well, he was a tough guy. He was relatively tight-lipped. He hated braggarts. He hated people who boasted about themselves. Vanderbilt really let his accomplishments speak for themselves. He prided himself on his honesty and at the same time on his toughness. He pushed business negotiations as hard as they could go, but once he made a deal, he stood by his word. But at the same time, because he was so immensely capable himself, I mean, he was intensely competitive. So, for example, he loved trotting horses, and he engaged in harness races against all comers into his 80s. He played whist, the ancestor of bridge, and was fiercely competitive at that. Everything he did, he sought to be the best and to outdo everyone around him. So as a result, he really rubbed some people the wrong way, but the people who actually competed against him, whether in business or around the card table, really respected him. They felt as if his pride in himself had been well earned. When it came to his family, though, that was a different story. Since he set such a high personal standard, he expected his sons in particular to live up to it. And when they didn't, he could be pretty harsh on them. His family always had a difficult relationship with him, yet they loved him and they wanted his approval, and he didn't always give it. So it was a very complicated family life as well.
Is it accurate to call him the father of the modern corporation?
Well, to the extent that any one person can be called that, I would say yes. In trying to be a good historian, I don't want to attribute too much to just one person. But what Vanderbilt did was he stood at the forefront of the transformation of the corporation from a government device to sort of publicly direct money. Corporations were seen as a means of creating public works. They weren't seen as simply business organizations in the early 19th century. But what Vanderbilt did is he helped, along with others, to turn the corporation into sort of an ordinary business organization. But he also created the giant corporation. When he turned to railroads at the end of his career, he took a fragmented series of small lines that had been built to serve localities and that were linked up in this sort of fragmented network, and he consolidated them, a set of lines, into one of the first giant corporations in American history. And this led to both lower costs, greater efficiency, accelerated economic growth, but at the same time, it gave him immense personal power over the economy. And so as a result, the modern debate over the corporation, over big business, over whether government should be involved in regulating it, we see this debate begin to emerge around Vanderbilt himself.
I understand congratulations are in order. You've received a Pulitzer Prize for this work. How did that strike you when you heard that news?
Well, that was it was a shock, frankly. It was a real shock. I had been very fortunate to receive the National Book Award in November of last year. And I thought, well, fair is fair. I've certainly gotten more than my fair share of accolades. And frankly, there were a lot of really excellent biographies out last year. You know, the National Book Critics Circle Award and the Los Angeles Times Book Prize, for example, they came up with short lists for their winners and finalists for biography. And my book wasn't among them, and there's good reason, because there were a lot of really good biographies out last year that deserve recognition. So I was totally unprepared. And when I got the news, I just picked up my son from preschool. He's 2 years old. And he fell sound asleep immediately upon going into his car seat. And my editor called, and my son was not impressed. He slept through the whole thing. So the news was unexpected, and it sort of descended upon me in an ordinary day, which is kind of gave me a sense of vertigo, actually.
Well, how have so-called everyday folks reacted to the book? There seems to be a fascination still with Mr. Vanderbilt.
Well, as I said, you know, he has this rare combination of a really dramatic personal life. I mean, this is a guy who got involved in fist fights up until he was 50 years old, who was survived train wrecks and steamboat explosions, actually piloted a steamboat African Queen style through the rapids and the jungles of Nicaragua. A very physical, adventurous life with high-stakes business battles. It's just, I thought it was a great story. And at the same time, it's very consequential. You know, even though railroads are not the center of the economy the way they were in his time, you know, he really was a creator of the corporate world we live in today. And a lot of the things that we're arguing about now, you know, like I said, regulation, securities, the kind of abstract nature of Wall Street, those are things that Americans wrestled with in Vanderbilt's life and argued about when they argued about Vanderbilt.
You're coming to the Louisville, Free Public Library next week. How does that work? Is this a lecture? Do you take questions? What will happen there?
I will be giving a talk. I'll be talking about a lot of the themes and issues I mentioned just now with more specifics. And I certainly will take questions. And it's my understanding that books will be available as well. And I will be very happy to sign books and take questions. You know, as a writer, you know, I spent almost 7 years in this book, and a lot of them were pretty lonely years. And so it is always a pleasure for me to meet people who are interested in the subject or who have read the book and would like to come and hear me speak or talk to me or ask questions. That's a real pleasure for me.
Very good. Mr. Stiles, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.